Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and this is the last show of the 2023 year, the last Sunday show of Be a Planner with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we've got assorted news articles, as we normally do, that we'll go through here momentarily, but first, let's remind that just because you hear us talk about a strategy or a opportunity for investing, that does not mean you should run out and join in without first consulting your professional advisors, be it tax folks, your lawyers, your real estate investment advisors, your financial planners, et cetera, et cetera. Hopefully, they'll understand the topic or the content that you're throwing at them. And second, they'll know whether or not you're describing it correctly and whether or not it might enhance your current facts and circumstances. Very important. Probably that's the most important thing, is whether or not this will actually work for you, whatever it is. And as you know, we're going to talk about some news articles that I just got up on the site a few minutes ago, recent news articles. And there's a couple of them that are primarily just the trends that I was trying to see what some of these last-minute posts are looking like on the commercial real estate sites. And BizNow had probably the best summary that I found, 16 deals and trends. I guess it should be 16 deals or trends that define 2023. And of course, you can click a link to take you to these articles if you'll go visit our companion website. Oh, I should have mentioned when I was talking about your professional advisors. Some of you don't have professional advisors, apparently, because I get a lot of follow-ups each week. People wanting to learn more, want to know if we'll consider taking them on as a client, which the answer is always, well, yes, we'll consider it, but we need to learn more about you to make sure it's a good fit and that we can sync up with your goals and objectives. So if you want to have us take a look at that, you can go to our primary website, which is beaplanner.com. That's beaplanner.com. And top right, you'll see two links that you're going to need to access. One of them is a forms link that'll take you to our client intake forms. And if you would be kind enough to at least fill out step one's form, that'll get us enough information where then you can click the link at the far right, which is to schedule a call. And I'll be happy, or will be happy, maybe Dan will be able to join us, and we will talk to you about what you submitted and whether or not we feel like there's a potential fit for us helping you with your goals and objectives. And understand that we don't sell investments. We don't recommend investments. We simply review assorted private partnership syndications involving real estate, predominantly multifamily apartment transactions. And we try to help you understand what you're signing up for should you decide, I guess I should underscore, whether or not you would proceed with any specific investment. And if you haven't looked through the document stack that's available on every private placement that is offered under the SEC crowdfunding rules, at least if it's offered under the 506B statute, that's 506B like boy, that's the offering option that allows non-accredited to investors to participate up to 35, and then an unlimited number of accredited investors. And just real quick, accredited are those that make more than $200,000 to $300,000 a year for 3 years, with the anticipation it'll continue again for the current year, and or they have $1 million in net worth, not counting the equity in their residence. So that's the criteria for accredited. And then non-accredited would be those that are under the million mark in net worth, in net worth, or they earn less than the $200,000 to $300,000 level. 200 if you're trying to qualify as a single, 300 if you're doing it jointly. In any event, as I was saying, the companion site that we have strictly for the radio show, we put resources out there that we discuss on the air. We'll be adding some illustrations. We've got a couple videos. We'll be adding a lot more videos here over the next couple weeks. But it is called BAPlannerShow.com. Very easy to remember. If you can get the first one, baplanner.com versus baplannershow.com. And if you'll go to the resources tab and then the news section, that's where you're going to see the articles that I just loaded up. So the first one is, and these articles, by the way, if you look at the top of that page, you'll see some blue typeface. I believe there's four, which I refer to them being pinned. And that means I keep them at the top because they've got long-term value to topics that we'll discuss on assorted shows throughout the year or years, as the case may be. And then you'll see with the fifth article down or the fifth bullet down, fifth link, you'll see the black typeface start. So the 16 deals and trends that defined 2023. Yeah, 2003 would be an interesting review now, wouldn't it? In any event, the first one, and I'm not going to go into the details on well, maybe any of these, but certainly not many of them. The bank failures that we had, mainly regional banks, were a drain on that sector. The office market got even worse. And, you know, this time a year ago, we were just beginning to talk about some of the valuations that were affecting the office market because, you know, when you've got occupancy that's in the dumper, and therefore your rents are low, therefore your net operating income is low, then your valuation is also going to be low. That's how commercial real estate works, whether it's an apartment building, whether it's an office building. Almost every type of commercial real estate is driven off of net operating income. There are some exceptions, but for the most part, if your net operating income is not strong, your valuation will not be either. So hopefully, if you're in that predicament, you don't have a loan coming up for renewal, or you're not under any mandate to sell otherwise, because that's when the blood starts to flow, and we're going to have a lot of blood flowing here in 2024. It's pretty obvious already. Let's see, another, I guess, a trend is ChatGPT goes CRE as commercial real estate. I'll let you read that and decide if it's really done much. I think it's still half-baked in large measure, but I definitely see the potential. It's just, I've seen some articles that clearly were developed by programs like ChatGPT, and there's a lot of inaccuracies that creep in to a computer's brain, quote unquote, or so it would seem. One of the biggest developments in the commercial real estate world, specifically in the office market, was the WeWork bankruptcy. I'm sure many of you know WeWork was the largest, I believe they were the largest, one of the largest. I think Regus may be bigger, maybe in terms of the number of buildings. I don't know about in terms of square footage, but WeWork is a huge co-working space, and Regus is more of a serviced office concept, actually. It's not so much a co-working space, but bottom line is WeWork, Regus, Abbey Suites, you know, if you're in the Houston market, these are the companies that go out and rent space so you don't have to go sign a lease, you know, with the landlord. You pay them, and they have all different types of arrangements. You can use as much or a little. It's much of it's a variable cost, if not all of it, and it fits certain companies very well. And there's some big companies, or what I think of as big, that operate with those types of office spaces around the country. It's you know, something that they have decided, they figured out that it's more cost efficient. It may even be more scheduling efficient. In any event, the concept of hoteling, that's H-O-T-E-L-I-N-G, has been around in the office market for, I don't know, 15 years or more. It's just, it's gotten a lot more news coverage when WeWork came to the scene. But in any event, let's see. The Trump Organization's legal battle, that was certainly a big event. I don't know that it's actually, I don't think we've seen the end of that. It could be a big event. Depends on what happens with the assorted cases that still need to play out. And all you got to do is tune in to your favorite news channel or YouTube on a daily basis, and you'll be up to speed in no time. It's gotten wonderful coverage, or a lot of coverage. Let's see. Record maturities plus interest rate hikes, one big mess. That sums up what I think we're going to see in 2024. And a lot of the bridge debt deals that were structured the last 2 to 3 years have come due or getting ready to come due. And with the higher interest rates, and they could have added here, and the lower LTV or loan to value that's being offered by lenders, and they could have also added with the higher mortgage reserves, it's indeed one big mess. And it's going to be interesting to see who the winners are, who the people that have kept, the developers or the syndicators that have kept their powder dry, and they you know, will be able to take advantage of the weak players in the market. Let's see here. The next one is the saga of Nightingale and CrowdStreet. And CrowdStreet is one of the dominants, the largest and oldest big player in the syndication platform market. They're based out of Austin. And Nightingale was a syndicator that apparently didn't spend the money on what they purportedly were raising it for, and it's a localized mess, I guess you might say, and I don't think it's over. I think CrowdStreet thought they had a deal, some sort of settlement deal to get investors their money back. I'm not sure that's going to happen, and I don't know. Let me click here and see I don't think this article has given me much of an update. There's been no admission of wrongdoing. In October, they did offer to pay back investors in part by selling personal residences, art, and jewelry. But on the other hand, they've also had properties that are getting foreclosed around the country. So it'll be interesting to see what CrowdStreet's role is in this debacle, as it's being called. But that's something we'll watch with great interest. We've got clients that are in some of those transactions. They're in some CrowdStreet transactions, or, you know, syndicators that use the CrowdStreet platform. And to my knowledge, we've had no issues with those specific transactions. But this will be something to keep an eye on. I'm going to tell you, and I've said it before, and I don't care if you're the oldest, most successful syndication platform or not. You could be anybody. You could be doing your own syndicated deal, you know, with a dozen of your friends and associates. And I'm just telling you, once you comport with the SEC notification requirement, that's pretty much it. There is no regulation coming behind you as a syndicator or any syndicator that you might be invested with. And you need to understand that that is in my mind, that's a weakness with the concept of dealing with people you don't know. And I talk about the platforms that are available for you to join as an investor or a mentor. And I would suggest to you that's one of the positives of those platforms, or at least of some of them. I'm not going to say it's all of them, because clearly some of these platforms don't have a clue what the syndicators that are coming onto their platform to pitch their wares are really doing. But I think there's a couple of platforms out there that are pretty tight when it comes to making sure they know what the project consists of and how and what the money, how the money's being raised and what it's going to be used for. Let's do this. We've run a little bit past our break time. Let's go ahead and take our first break, and we'll return here momentarily with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to this second segment of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And right before we took our break, we were talking about the BizNow article about the 16 deals and trends that defined 2023. I think we were down to the Trump Organization's legal battle, and I'm not going to go through each one of these. Or no, we were actually, we went through the CrowdStreet issues with one of the syndicators that came through their platform. Yellow Freight, or Yellow, I guess, they dropped the word freight a while ago, and maybe that's why they ended up in bankruptcy. I don't know, but I'm saying that a little facetiously. But that was a material bankruptcy, and I can't recall. It seemed like they've gotten some decent size offers to buy their assets. You know, not only the physical assets, but I suspect the customer list is the biggest value there. But in any event, let's see. Sports teams on the move. Man, I've lost track. I know the Oakland A's apparently are moving to Las Vegas. The Washington Capitals and Wizards are leaving downtown Washington, D.C. and settling where? Alexandria, Virginia. And looks like the 76ers are going to look for, or they're going to stay in Philly, but they're wanting a new arena. Let's see what else. The Bears are set to move as well. Chicago Bears, although the destination is up in the air. Man, that's you got a couple of those names that are tradition, right? The Philadelphia 76ers and Chicago Bears. But I guess, you know, all things change, right? And I don't know how many years the Bears have been playing at Soldier Field, but wow, that's a big deal. Tampa Bay, the what is it? The Devil Rays? Is that the baseball? Tampa Bay? Let's see. The Tampa Bay Rays are similarly looking up to build a new stadium next to their current one. Boy, I didn't think that had been around that long to begin with. But anyway, and then finally, the Buffalo Bills broke ground in June on a $1.5 billion stadium across from their current Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. Boy, the times have changed since I go back to my childhood when we had the Astrodome. I think that was a $5 million purchase. And I don't think you can just say, well, you know, inflation's caused that. Well, it's a lot more than inflation. Let's agree on that. But in any event, let's see what else is interesting on the last three or four. Some REIT article or an article about how much money was pulled out of REITs over 2023. The life sciences segment of commercial real estate has slowed dramatically. Retail's come back. And I'm not sure if they're referencing retail real estate. The retail real estate space sure has come back, but I think they're talking about the actual stores themselves, a lot of mergers and acquisitions. But I was reading an article this week about some new Houston retail centers, and boy, there's like seven or eight major undertaking that's going on. But anyway, let's see. Let's take a look at the next articles. Just a quick, I don't even need to go into it. I just want to tell you the subject line or the title line. California existing home sales fell to a 16-year low. That's pretty telling. And yet, I can promise you there's people in certain segments. I have a friend that lives in San Diego that just bought another condo to go with the five he already had, all in the same eight-unit building. And based on what he told me, he paid $1.2 million for a condo. I think it was in the 1,600 square foot range. Doesn't sound like it's I guess you could still have the number of transactions fall. I probably should open that article up. Let me see here. Are they talking about the pricing or the number of transactions? Let's see. The existing home sales registered the biggest monthly decline in the past year. That's for the past year, and then dropped in November to the lowest level since 2007. And that is with regard to the number of properties that sold, not with respect to the pricing. But that said, the pricing dropped a little bit too. The median statewide median price decreased 2.2% from October's $840,000 to $822,000 in November. So that's still up from a $774,000 a year ago median price. That's crazy. It's a lot of money. Okay, so now let's go back and look at multifamily debt tops the $2 trillion mark. And that's a... let me see. Yeah, I was trying to figure out if that had the amount of debt that's maturing. Let me see real quick. Because it's a hefty number. I get my billions and trillions mixed up when you're talking about so much. I'm not going to have, unless it says it. Let me see if it says it in this article here. Actually, this site, for whatever reason, I had this problem earlier today. It takes about 5 minutes for each page to load. Let me see if we can go to the next. Oh, okay, this article is telling Lennar Homes is looking to exit its apartment portfolio. I had no idea. I mean, I knew they had some apartment buildings they own, but I didn't realize it was 11,000 units. This is the same Lennar Homes that builds homes, single family properties, and that's a lot of apartments. I guess I didn't realize that they were a big player as they are in that market. And so now they're looking at the timing, and it's, you know, there's a reason they pay the co-CEOs so much money. He's got some really insightful comments on a home builders call. The timing is one where it's kind of a suboptimal time to be thinking about a sell. Although who knows where interest rates go, that could change quickly. And they're saying that it's their limited partners that are driving the decision. And so this is, there's a little bit of cynicism in this comment. And I don't know. I guess be careful what you wish for if you're a limited partner and you're demanding that your lead partner, your syndicator, your sponsor, whatever you want to call the person in that driver's seat, be careful what you wish for with demanding or making those kind of demands. Let's see. We have one more article. The DFW. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see if my article came up here yet. Okay, here's my multifamily debt article. Tops $2 trillion. There was a pullback in borrowing. I'm not sure there was a pullback in borrowing as much as, well, wanting to. To people wanting to borrow, it was definitely a pullback on lenders wanting to lend. But in any event, the multifamily mortgage debt increased 1.3% or $26.8 billion from the second quarter to the third quarter of 2023, up to $2.05 trillion. Overall, combined commercial multifamily mortgage debt outstanding increased 0.8% or $37.1 billion. So a big chunk of that was the multifamily market. This is information provided by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which, as you know, I believe you would know, are agency and government-sponsored enterprises that track this stuff. And that's, they track it because they're giving guarantees on it. But in any event, it's interesting to see how the debt breaks down by the lender type. Agencies are 48% of that number, $986 billion. Banks and thrifts, savings and loans, are 30%. Life insurance companies are 11%. That's a lot of money that the life insurers have in that market, especially given the, let's just say that's a lot of money. That's a lot of risk they have as well. But insurance companies do pretty good managing the risk. The actuaries they have managed to avoid any failure, any major, grade A insurance company failures in our lifetime. And it may go further down the tree than grade A even, or A rated. But anyway, state and local governments have 6% of that debt. That kind of surprised me to see that. I had no idea it was that much, and then there's another 3% collectively in CMBS, those are securitized mortgages, and CDOs, collateralized, I believe, is that category, and ABS, which I don't recall right offhand what that acronym is for, but delinquencies still, excuse me, among the groups with the most multifamily debt, delinquencies remain low. Boy, let's hope we can be talking this time next year and still see that. But in any event, okay, well, that gets us to our second break time. Let's go ahead and take that, and we'll come back. And I think that was all the news articles, so we'll talk about our favorite topic as of late, the Roth conversion, when we come back to more of the Be a Planner Show.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. But I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will
hey,
I make
Gary,
it? Maybe so.
Break.
Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna warm it up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make it.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. It's our last show of the year, and we'll look forward to welcoming 2024 here shortly. If you're on my side of the world, it's already started, apparently, but not just quite yet in Southeast Asia, but it's definitely coming. You know, I had one other news article that I forgot about, and I didn't have it updated on the site. However, I just, let me click publish here. I just put it up, and these articles just, I mean, on the one hand, they really irritate you. On the other hand, it explains a lot about our deficit as a country. And Rand Paul, I don't know, for those of you that follow him, you'll know he puts out an annual Christmas Festivus report for you Seinfeld fans. I don't need to explain what that is. And if you're not in the know, go YouTube Festivus Seinfeld, and you'll be in the know. But in any event, $900 billion in government squander. Wait till you hear some of the notables here. The National Institutes of Health allocated funds to study Russian cats on treadmills. Photos of Barbies were utilized as identification to obtain COVID relief funds. The Department of Defense lost $169 million of outdoor stored military gear. $6 million went towards tourism in Egypt by the U.S. Agency for International Development. And the Small Business Administration provided over $200 million to struggling music artists such as Post Malone, Chris Brown, and Lil Wayne, I guess. I'm not in the know on these matters, but I have heard those names. None of them make my playlist. That's all I can tell you. I don't have any of those folks on my playlist. But $200 million to struggling music artists. Boy, that's a doozy. We can't seem to find the money to keep the border closed, but boy, you know, if we've got any struggling music artists, anything for the arts, right? And that kind of, you know, the video that I have out on the baplannershow.com site on the resources page, further on the video subpage, there's a video, YouTube video, by David Swikert, an Arizona Republican, a congressman, that it's about a 30-minute listen. It'd be worth you getting educated on the issue of the deficit and what he thinks. And I think he's right, by the way. I don't know any other – well, I know another way that we can get out of the deficit problem. If anybody's got the magic button you can push to, I don't know, triple or quadruple our GDP, that should get us there. That'd be marvelous if we could simply have the GDP numbers swell and, you know, take care of helping a lot of jobs and consumers alike, and at the same time bring in massive tax revenues. That would fix the problem. And I mean massive revenues or receipts. I shouldn't say revenues. The government's not in the business of tax revenues. They collect tax receipts. But in any event, as Swiker points out, look, we could do what the Republicans want to do, which is cut spending. No more foreign aid. Let's just keep those dollars working at home till we get out of debt. Likewise, we could tax all the wealthy like the Democrats would like to do. You know, the wealthy don't pay their fair share. So, you know, we go after their fair share, although I've yet to see a Democrat that can define what that is. And by the time they get up high enough in the stratosphere of the billionaire class, they don't realize just how little money. You could take all the billionaires' money, and you're not moving the needle one iota. Nor are you, by the way, if you cut all the foreign aid. If we just said no more foreign aid, those types of expenditures don't affect the deficit hardly at all, okay? In terms of the $34 trillion that we're probably at right now, I haven't checked the usdebtclock.org this show. I did it Friday, and I think it'd be about this time next week we should finally be up over that $34 trillion mark. But as Swikert points out, it's going to take a change in policies in this country, big changes as to what we intend on spending our money on to turn around the deficits. deep changes, not just superficial ones like raising tax rates on the wealthy and cutting the foreign aid. And so anyway, that video, he's got some nice charts, and again, it won't kill you for 30 minutes to put up with how frustrating you'll feel, but you need to understand the tax train is coming. That's why we like Roth conversions. If you've got money in pre-tax retirement accounts, you don't have as much as you think you do. In fact, you don't even know how much you really have because you don't know what the tax rates are going to be when you go to start distributing those funds out to yourself. And I'm willing to bet you that CBO was low back in 2009 budget office when they suggested back then that we needed to raise the tax brackets up 150% from where they were at in terms of the tax rate. That was 2009. That was back when the deficit was, I think, is about $9 trillion instead of the $34 we're getting ready to cross now. I don't even want to think about the unfunded liability number back then versus now. But now it's arguably as high as $200 trillion or more. But we admit to 34 because those are the ones that we apparently differentiate, because the unfunded liabilities, we could still change. We could raise the Social Security age to, I don't know, what, 95, some range out there that would still be only a Band-Aid, wouldn't really fix much. Or we could decrease the indexing, the rate of indexing, or we could change assorted other social spending programs, I guess. We might stop forgiving student loans, things like that, you know, little things. But in any event, take a look at the video, and we're going to be posting more like that. There's several others, not nearly enough, but there's several other congressmen that actually seem like they get it. But anyway, back to the Ron Paul article. So $200 million for struggling music artists is where I left off. And let's see. Who's to blame for our crushing level of debt? Everybody, is what Rand Paul wrote in the report. This year, members of both parties in Congress voted to raise the debt ceiling, which empowered the federal government to borrow an unlimited amount of money until 2024. As Congress spends to reward its favored industries and pet projects, the American taxpayers are forced to pay the price through record high inflation and crippling interest rates. He added, the same big spenders teamed up yet again to continue sending Americans' hard-earned money to foreign countries and funding endless wars, all while ignoring our porous, and that would be P-O-R-O-U-S, southern border. Has nothing to do with wealth. it's got holes in it. People are coming across unchallenged in many cases. The article goes on to say that Senator Rand Paul's report highlighted government spending that included accepting Barbie doll photos to obtain COVID relief funds from a portion of the $800 billion allocation in Paycheck Protection Program funds. We wonder why we have such waste. I wonder how many cartoon names are going out or coming in on earned income credit amounts that I've lost track of the billions that go out to erroneous claimants on the earned income credits, a huge number. But in any event, other expenses highlighted were $659 billion for national debt interest. Okay, that was our interest on the debt, which will be over $1 trillion in the current fiscal year. So we'll look back on the days of $659 billion with fondness, because that number will go up. It roughly goes up about, I think it's 6 to 8 trillion a day. I mean, I'm sorry, 6 to 8 billion a day, I think, is the number. That's either the total deficit goes up that much or it's the interest. I've forgotten. They both are, will turn your stomachs. I don't really want to differentiate. It's all bad, is what I would say. Let's see. We also spent $33 trillion on transgender monkey research. That's very necessary, isn't it? $6 million for boosting, well, I already mentioned, the Egyptian tourism. And an unknown cost for the USDA's dog walking research in summer. And I didn't see any further references to that, but it wouldn't surprise me. Let's see here. Researchers found, here's some more on the dog walking. Researchers found that the Labradors, I guess they'd be the Labrador retrievers, fur color did not affect their body temperature after a hot summer's walk. That's it. The taxpayer-funded cutting-edge study, Paul wrote. The Agricultural Research Service at the USDA, which funded the study at Southern Illinois University, gets $1.7 billion a year from Congress, but it's unknown how much the hot dog study costs the taxpayer. More insanity. Let's see here. Here's a reference to Fauci. Under Dr. Fauci's leadership, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases funded a study using $477,000 to force feminize male rhesus monkeys, a rhesus macaque. I'm not even sure what that is. In a Florida lab, some animal. In any event, enough about wasting the money. We know what it has been traditionally. We know it's going to get worse. What do we do to protect ourselves? If you've got pre-tax retirement funds, you look at getting them over to the Roth options, either IRA or 401k, as soon as you possibly can. You've got a couple years left before the brackets revert back to where they were before the 2017 Tax Act. That happens on 1/1/2026, actually less than 2 years. And then that's assuming Congress doesn't do anything in the meantime. And then that also assumes that we probably will need to see a more conservative president than Mr. Biden to keep those rates anywhere near that level beginning in 2026 and thereafter. I hear the music coming on. We're at the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in. Over the last, it's been 3 years now. It's hard to believe that we've been broadcasting, and hope we can do it another 3 years. We aim to be on more stations at that point. We're on 5 now across the country, and hopefully we can add some more here soon. Well, thanks again. I'll look forward to seeing you this coming Friday, or speaking to you this coming Friday, 11 a.m. right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.